Phone and internet records aren't the only data being collected on innocent people. Police departments around the country are rapidly expanding their use of license plate reading technology to track the location of drivers, but few of them have any meaningful rules to protect drivers' privacy rights. Many of them are keeping these records on file for years, whether or not there is any suspicion of criminal activity. Last year, affiliates of the American Civil Liberties Union in 38 states filed almost 600 Freedom of Information requests asking federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies how they use license plate scanners. The results have been compiled in a report released today called You Are Being Tracked. Catherine Crump is a staff attorney with the ACLU. She says that $15,000 to $25,000 each. As law enforcement equipment goes, license plate scanning systems are relatively inexpensive.
That means that even small towns are buying license plate readers, and maybe not just one, maybe multiple license plate readers. And in the end, it means an awful lot of data is being collected about where each of us drives our car.
How much information is actually being collected at this point?
The information we learned through the 26,000 pages of documents our affiliates obtained show that hundreds of millions of plate hits are being stored. There's one database actually run by a private company, and the company boasts that they have 800 million individual plate hits, which they claim covers the majority of Americans who drive. So this information can be quite massive. And some people think, oh, well, what's the difference between a license plate reader and a police officer who might see you? But I think the difference is scale, right? If a police officer sees you on the street, they may have one data point about you. But when the police are capturing not just one data point, but many data points about you, and not just you, but everyone, and that's storing that indefinitely, it's really quite invasive.
So what's at risk is associational information. They know where you go to church, where you go to the doctor, or what meetings you may go to because of the time and location of your car.
That's exactly right. Think about every place you drive and what it tells about you. Everyone you meet, every doctor you go to, so on and so forth. And I think one question that's worth asking is, what business is it of the government to be logging all of that information about the 99.99% of us who are completely innocent? You know, the government's theory here is that if it just collects information about what every single person does all the time, then in case one of us turns out to do something wrong in the future, it will be able to go back and get all of that data. But I don't think it's worth the cost of that in terms of privacy. Traditionally speaking, it's been possible in this country to go out of doors without the government making a note of it. And I think that's an important value that keeps government in check and one we need to maintain.
How useful is this data to police departments? Are they actually solving crimes with it?
The answer is yes. These machines are useful, and the ACLU doesn't object to them being used. One completely legitimate use is to check to see if cars that drive by are wanted, say, because the driver has an outstanding arrest warrant. That's completely fine and not what the ACLU objects to. What we object to is the fact that increasingly law enforcement is storing data on innocent people. So it's not just snapping a picture and then tossing it away if it turns out you're innocent. They're storing that in databases, and sometimes not just for a few days, but for months or even years.
There is one interesting figure that in Maryland, for every million plates read, only 47 actually had any association with a stolen car or a wanted individual. So that's 0.05% of useful information.
That's right. And even that figure overstates it because it includes people who might be on some kind of government watch list for whatever reason, and we know how flawed those lists can be, but that aren't actually suspected of breaking any current law. The point isn't to say that this technology is bad or doesn't have some value, but when you have a technology which by its very nature captures primarily information about the vast majority of us who do nothing wrong, you need to pay attention to how the other 99% of us are being monitored.
Are there any regulations on the federal level or even the state levels that control data retention?
There are too few regulations like that in place. A few states have passed laws, but the reason we went through the effort of getting 26,000 pages of records from people around the country is that we intend it to be a call to action. And what we're hoping is that when the state legislatures come back in session this fall, that they'll take up the issue, because there are very common sense restrictions which can be put in place to make sure that the good uses of this technology are allowed while the problematic ones are prohibited.
How much does data retention vary from police department to police department, and does it make any difference in the effectiveness of the database for their purposes?
You know, the retention policies vary quite dramatically. In New Jersey, for example, the Attorney General issued a directive requiring every local town to store plate data for 5 years. So even if the town doesn't itself want to keep this stuff, it's then required to put it in a central database if it wants to delete it. In contrast, the Minnesota State Patrol deletes data after 48 hours. And so there's a big difference there. But because the primary use of this is to check a license plate against a hot list of wanted vehicles, which can be done instantaneously, there's no difference in the effectiveness of this technology from the difference in storage times. And I think that if major police departments can use this technology and not amass these huge databases of location information about all of us, then that ought to be a sign that other departments ought to adopt the same policy.
Is there a problem with the fact that this identifies vehicles, not individuals? It could be anybody driving a car.
Well, there actually have been some problems with that. In some cases, tragic circumstances where someone is pulled over because their plate generates a hit, but then the wrong person turns out to be driving the car. Or these machines actually aren't perfect. They often get confused. You know, if a license plate from Montana and one from Nebraska have the same plate number, the machines can have a hard time differentiating the state. So one of the things we recommend in our report is that a plate hit alone shouldn't be enough to believe that the person who's driving the car is the person you're looking for, that you need to look and try to verify that the person who's actually in the car matches the profile of whoever it is you're supposed to be going after.
You mentioned private companies. There's one, Vigilant Solutions, that has this 800 million hit database. Is this a way for police departments to get around restrictions on data retention? Are there any controls at all on private companies?
This is a really fascinating subculture. It turns out that there are these repossession companies looking for cars. They install automatic license plate readers, but instead of just checking them against hot lists, they then donate their data or give their data to these huge private databases, and they end up amassing, for example, 800 million hits of where Americans have traveled. So this could be a way that law enforcement can circumvent any of their own restrictions. But I think one easy solution to that is to say, you know, not only can law enforcement not keep this data itself, but it can't access private databases unless they comply with whatever the law enforcement's retention policy is.
You said the goal of this report is to urge state legislatures to take action. What about on the federal level?
You know, I would hope that people would act on the federal level as well. There hasn't been as much movement as we would like in Congress on this issue. But I'm actually hopeful because there is more attention being paid now to surveillance issues than we've seen in years. And I think people are waking up to the fact that the default increasingly is for the government to make records of every single thing we say and do. So the National Security Agency, right, has been revealed to have this program where it's keeping records of every single phone call Americans make. I think many people just think that goes too far, right? And I'm hoping that galvanizes both Congress as well as state legislatures to take some action.
Catherine Crump is a staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union.